Nick.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into the program. Hope your day is starting off well, even if it's a little chillier than it's been the last couple of days. It's all right. A light jacket will suffice. It's about 48 degrees out there. And it'll be a little bit cooler today. So, yeah, you probably need the jacket. I left here yesterday afternoon. Well, I think I left at about 5:30. No, probably about 5. And I had gone out probably about 4:30, no jacket on, got my gym bag out of the car, came in, changed, did a few more things, walked out in shorts and a t-shirt and said, oh my, I wish I was still wearing pants and my jacket. Like it just changed like that. And then leaving the gym, it was even colder. So we're still going to have a little bit of that. We're not quite there yet, but think about this. We're more than halfway through April already. And as you know, once May comes, well, then we're kind of into the warmer weather. We'll see how that plays out. So I'm going to be working on this story in a little while this morning and get it up for you. But I got a response from Eversource regarding the power issues that were going on in Fairhaven. And they didn't acknowledge what I had been told by the person at Stop and Shop that they had been told about there being underground power cables that were causing an issue. The answer that I received was, hold on, because I don't know where the answer to that question went. Hang on one second. Got to refresh the email. There we go. So over the last couple of weeks, there have been a handful of brief or momentary outages on the local circuit, which were most likely caused by tree branches and high winds. Automated circuit protection technology normally reduces the size and customer impact of area outages. But yesterday, this being Tuesday, there was a main line connection that faltered that required a crew to make repairs. We are performing additional circuit patrols to look for other potential problems to correct any areas needing more tree trimming. I don't know if that's the case. Not that I don't believe Eversource, but I wonder if it's not the particular problem. And by the way, the PR person for Eversource is a local person. So they know the area. They know what we're talking about here. But tree branches? I mean, on the good side of that explanation, tree branches are pretty easy to fix. This is usually the time of year where the crews are out working to cut back tree branches. I know because in my neighborhood for years, we had trees that were overgrown over the power lines. And every time there was a storm, we would have problems. Every time there would be wind, we would have problems. We knew that once those tree branches got wet, or if they had snow on them and they were starting to sag, we were going to lose power. But the crews came in one year and culled them all back. And then after that, they kept up with it. They would come, I wouldn't say every spring, but you know, at some point in the year, it might be spring, it might be summer, but they would come and they would cut all those back to keep it from getting like that again. And we had far less issues. But there was a time when we knew if it was windy, or heavy rain or snow, we said, all right, we're going to lose power. We know we are. Living in the Glen Charlie area, we also had the problem of there's the S-curves on Glen Charlie Road that are constantly leading to people going off the road and hitting poles, and then the whole area loses power. That we kind of just had to deal with. But I don't understand why they never protected those poles better either. There was one morning I was heading to work when I lived in, when I worked in Lakeville. And I was heading to work. Somebody had hit the pole. The pole had come down across Glen Charlie Road. And the power line had snapped off and was a live wire dancing around in the street. And I pulled up to the scene. Police officer there that I knew. I said to him, do we have an ETA on when this is going to get taken care of? And he looked at me and he said, it's going to be hours. Honestly, it's going to be hours. You might as well just go home. So I called my boss. I said, I think I'm going to be late. And I had to drive through Plymouth, you know, go up the back way of Glen Charlie area through South Plymouth, got to Route 44, took Route 44 into Middleborough by Friendly's, and then took it and then went from there to the Talbot's building in Lakeville. All because somebody wasn't paying attention and hit, or was drinking or what have you, and hit the pole. The person was fine. They were actually on the side of the road. But still, I mean, that's the kind of inconvenience we were dealing with in that area. But this, I don't know, this explanation, I'm going to put it out there today. I'll write it up and put it out there. But I don't know that Fairhaven residents are going to be satisfied with that explanation. But that's what Eversource is telling us. Later on this morning, we will hear from Dr. Sabina Stanley. We're going to be talking about her new book, What's Hidden Inside Planets? And I think you'll find it fascinating. I've really found the book to be an incredible read. And we're talking about things that are not only within our planet, but within planets outside of, you know, within our solar system and even outside of our solar system. To find out, are there other places life could exist? And the book covers a whole bunch of things. We're only going to have Sabina for about 10, 15 minutes because she's on a media tour. But we could go for hours. And maybe at some point we'll have her back on a spooky South Coast or something where we can go more in depth. But this is it's a fascinating read. It's a fascinating book, What's Hidden Inside Planets. And she has a very clear explanation of things. It's not, you don't get bogged down in science speak. I joked around with somebody. She's kind of like another version of Neil deGrasse Tyson in the way that she can dumb it down for us dopes who aren't cosmologists and planetary physicists like she is. So we'll talk to her in the 8 o'clock hour. Until then, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app, which again, I have to remind people because I see that it was happening yesterday. When you hear the WinCash code, which will start them up again at 8 a.m. and we'll have 10 codes, one every hour throughout the day. When you hear the code, don't enter it in app chat on the WBSM app. That's not how you enter in the code. If you send it in an app chat message, you did not enter. App chat messages go to me. They go to the hosts in the studio that access them. I know. I wish everybody did, but not everybody does. Eventually, we'll have a computer in here that just has it going all the time anyway. But we haven't reached that point yet, so the app chat messages basically just go to me and I can't enter them in for you. As much as I would like to say, oh, well, let me go into, you know, Joe in New Bedford's account and add that code in so that he doesn't miss it. I can't. I don't have that access. It's just a text messaging service for us to send messages back and forth. You have to go to the Win Cash page, which right on the app, there's a little money bag icon. If you open up the app and you don't see the money bag icon, it's because you don't have the latest version of the app. So you can either go to your app store and ask it to update it, or the easiest thing to do is delete it and re-download it. Then you'll get the latest version. You'll see that money bag option. You'll click on that, and then each hour's got its own box. So there's an 8 a.m. box, a 9 a.m. box. You click on that box and enter in the code for that hour. That's how you enter. And it's the same thing if you go to WBSM.com. It brings you to the same page with all those boxes for each hour. That's how you have to enter. And if you have any trouble with it at all, just send me an email, tim@wbsm.com, and I'm happy to walk you through it. But I wish I could put them in for you, but I don't have that ability. You need to enter them into those boxes in order for it to count. Speaking of giving away things, not only will we be giving away more cash, and Win Cash, of course, is brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. We will also be giving away more comedy show tickets for the Mercy Meals and More comedy night. That's happening on Friday, April 26th at the United Fishermen Club in New Bedford. You can get your tickets now at funny4funds.com/events. Or you can go right to WBSM.com and the WBSM app. On the website, you'll see right at the top of the page, it says Win Comedy Tickets. You click on that. There's a link there to go over and buy tickets if you'd like to support Mercy Meals and More. But there's also a box where you can enter in your information to win a pair of tickets. And we'll give away another pair later on this morning. Also, right next to that, you'll see Win Home Show Tickets. And that's because we are giving away a 4-pack of tickets to the Northeast Home Show, which is coming to Longplex Sports Center in Tiverton, Rhode Island on Saturday, April 27th and Sunday, April 28th. You can purchase your tickets at northeasthomeshow.com, or as I said, you can enter to win a 4-pack of tickets on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So why not win, right? You listen anyway. Be rewarded for listening. Enter to win some of these contests. And very soon, probably sometime next month, we're going to start getting into all of our summer concert tickets. But the lineup of shows that we have to give away tickets to is just incredible. I can give you a few hints. We have tickets again for Boston Calling. All 3 days. We have tickets for Alanis Morissette with Joan Jett. We have tickets for The Doobie Brothers, one of our most popular contests last year. We might even have some tickets for some of the hottest shows of the summer, such as Green Day at Fenway Park. So again, we'll start getting into some of those in the coming weeks. But very excited to be able to give all kinds of stuff away. That is the number to call in. Whoops, sorry. There's some stories that I definitely want to discuss this morning, but one thing I will say is it was very heartwarming to see the outpouring of affection for the Tavares family after the passing of Pooch. And you can read about that at WBSM.com and on the app, but lots of folks that were just sharing memories and sending condolences to the family. A lot of people saying things like, well, you know, there's another piece of my childhood gone, but the music lives on. They won't take away the music. So have yourself a little dance party tonight, put on some Tavares and dance like it's 1977 all over again. Right now, though, I've got to dance into a commercial break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
And who can forget what a huge, huge hit that song was in 1988? But do you remember what movie it was on the soundtrack to? You probably don't. It was on the soundtrack to the movie Cocktail, starring Tom Cruise and Elizabeth Shue. The movie wasn't great, but the soundtrack gave us that. And it was also on, I believe, Bobby's Simple Pleasures album. And the huge Beach Boys smash, Kokomo. Those were both on the Cocktail soundtrack. So the soundtrack was probably better than the movie. But it was also one of the big, you know, star. I mean, Tom Cruise was red hot in those days. So I'm sure the movie did fine financially, but it just wasn't a great movie. Also had the Hippie Hippie Shake on the soundtrack too. But anyway, in that song, Bobby McFerrin is playing every instrument in that song. And you know how many instruments there are in that song? None. That was all him making those noises with his voice. The bass line, the percussion beat, the backup singing, all of that, Bobby McFerrin. And I always used to wonder, how does he perform that song live? He must have to use recorded backing tracks of it. But yeah, that's typical Bobby McFerrin, though. That's the kind of music that he makes. And fantastic. Great video, too. Robin Williams is in it. Bill Irwin is in it. Worth checking out if you've never seen it. Bill Irwin's one of those guys where you don't know who he is, and then you see his face. It's like, oh, I've seen that guy in everything. Professional clown. I believe he studied at the Ringling Brothers Clown College, which I'd still go to today. I would be happy to go there. Where'd you get your degree? Ringling Brothers Clown College. Are you serious? Yes, I am. Well, but not really. That's why I got a degree at Clown College. So 508-996-0500, that is a number to call in and chime in. We are going to share with you some news stories, some follow-up on some things that we've been talking about this week, and some other disturbing stories. And I'm going to warn you ahead of time now, we're going to have some disturbing animal stories coming up. I know some people don't like hearing about things that happen to dogs and to animals, but it's important. It's in the news. There's questions about it, so we've got to talk about it. So we will do that coming up. But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
Jury selection continues in Trump's hush money trial. A 160-year-old abortion law stands in Arizona, and a weight loss drug's role in a good night's sleep.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump's criminal trial in New York resumes with another day of jury selection. As of now, 7 jurors have been chosen. A panel of 12, along with 6 alternates, must ultimately be selected. Trump stands accused of falsifying business records in order to cover up payments allegedly made to an adult film star just prior to the 2016 election. Arizona's near-total abortion ban is still law. The Civil War-era law outlaws the procedure except to save the life of the woman and threatens providers with prison sentences between 2 and 5 years. Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs calls it, quote, beyond unfortunate.
We know that this ban is going to have devastating consequences for access to health care, not just for abortion, but across the spectrum of pregnancy. And these Republicans are just playing games.
The state's House failed to repeal the law on Wednesday following attempts by Democratic lawmakers to do so. At the moment, the earliest the ban could be enforced is early June. President Biden has said he plans to make abortion a focal point of his campaign. After a widespread 911 outage was reported in a number of states on Wednesday, things are getting back to normal. Authorities say residents in parts of Nebraska, Nevada, South Dakota, and Texas were unable to call the number. No word on what led to the widespread failure. More than two dozen Google employees have reportedly been fired following sit-in protests over a project involving the company and the Israeli government. The tech news website The Verge says it obtained an internal memo from Google's head of global security saying a number of employees, quote, took over office spaces to faced our property and physically impeded the work of others. The White House is praising the U.S. Senate for dismissing two articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. A White House spokesperson said Wednesday that the Senate has, quote, rightly voted down this baseless impeachment that even conservative legal scholars said was unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court is rejecting an appeal by MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell over the seizure of his cell phone. The High Court rejected Lindell's request for a hearing without comment. Earlier this week, Lindell was in a fast food drive-thru in Minnesota when FBI agents seized his phone in 2022. Lindell had claimed the government was retaliating against him for questioning the integrity of the 2020 presidential election. Investigators said the seizure was to determine if Lindell was sharing sensitive voting system info. And the popular weight loss drug Zepbound also appears to help with obstructive sleep apnea. Details from Tammy Trujillo.
That's according to drug maker Eli Lilly. The company said it plans to submit trial results to the USDA to possibly expand the drug's use. Obstructive sleep apnea causes people to stop breathing briefly while sleeping, preventing them from feeling fully rested when they wake up. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Boston Red Sox have snapped their two-game skid with a 2-0 win over the Cleveland Guardians at Fenway Park last night. Boston closes out the four-game series this afternoon. The start of the Stanley Cup playoffs right around the bend. The Bruins begin the postseason when they host the Toronto Maple Leafs for Game 1 of their first-round series Saturday night at TD Garden. And the Celtics getting closer to finding out their first-round opponent.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A cloudy day ahead with light showers possible today. It'll feel colder, getting up to a high of 51 degrees and a low of 43 degrees tonight. For Friday, clouds break up in the afternoon, getting up to a high of 58 and a low of 46. Weekend looking good with highs in the mid-60s for Saturday. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Devitt always bringing me news that affects my life directly. And that Zepbound story is very interesting because, as you all know, I'm on Monjaro, which is the version of Zepbound that came out first, the one that was prescribed for diabetics. I'm on it as part of the medical weight loss program at South Coast Health. And I also have obstructive sleep apnea. And I've been wondering, as I've lost weight, how that's affected my apnea, which, as far as I know, I had going back to when I was a skinny kid. I've always been a snorer. I've always been accused of stopping breathing while I'm sleeping. So I was like, well, maybe it's not really related to the weight, but I kept saying, when I hit my weight goal, I'll go in for another sleep study and see where I'm at. Fully expecting that I would still have sleep apnea. Now, I sleep with the CPAP machine on. It doesn't bother me. I guess it is a little bit limiting, but I have the longest hose that I can get, so that helps. I mean, you don't want to have too long of a hose because then you don't get the air pressure to what it's supposed to be if it has longer to travel, but I have the longest hose possible. And one of the things that I did that helps me is when I became, you know, a single person again, I downsized my bed. I had to buy a new mattress. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to get a smaller bed. Instead of the queen size that we had, I got a full size. And now I can sleep anywhere in my bed and still be attached to my CPAP machine. So I sleep with it every night. Doesn't bother me at all. And it's definitely made an impact on my life because I remember what it was like not having that CPAP therapy and how tired I felt all the time and falling asleep in the middle of the afternoon and falling asleep behind the wheel. And I also have narcolepsy, so that's also an issue, but even that's been helped. But now knowing that this medication could be helping with that as well makes me even more interested in what would happen if I went in for a sleep study. So I think my next neurologist appointment is for November. And hopefully I've reached my weight goal by then. And then I will see if I can get a new sleep study. Which hopefully they can do on a Friday night, because you don't want me on the air the morning after a sleep study. And it'll be okay if they do the regular sleep study. Hang on, Skeddy. I see you on hold. I'll get to you in just a moment. It's okay if they do the regular sleep study. That doesn't bother me. And if you've never had one done and you're nervous about it, it's not a big deal. You just go in. I did mine in Lakeville the first time. And then I did one at Falmouth Hospital after that. But the Falmouth Hospital one was a little clinical. You know, that felt like I was kind of in a hospital room under observation. But when I did it in Lakeville, which is more the norm of how these operate, it was just like a little bedroom. And they hooked me up to you got all the electrodes on you and everything. They hook you up to the machine, but then somebody goes in another room and they can talk to you. But for the most part, you know, you're just in this dark room by yourself. And they have you go to bed, you know, that you can't stay up until you feel tired. They tell you to go to bed and then they monitor your sleep. And they know, like, so I briefly woke up during my last one. Didn't open my eyes, just briefly woke up. Had my eyes closed and had come awake. And the voice comes over the speaker. Everything okay, Tim? Like, they knew that I was awake from my brain patterns. And then I just fell right back asleep. Not a problem. The narcolepsy test, different story. The narcolepsy test is absolutely horrible. You go in for like 12 to 14 hours and they have you go through this cycle of 2 hours awake, 2 hours asleep, 2 hours awake, 2 hours asleep. And you have to do that for that entire time, that entire 12 or 14 hours. I forget how long it was. And when it was over, I was ready to kill somebody. I had to drive from Lakeville to Wareham, so I left the sleep center, and then there's a McDonald's right by the highway in Middleborough, so I said, I'm just going to go over and get a coffee. And I was so mean, snapping at the person behind the counter. And then I kind of like was like, I'm sorry. And she was like, no, I get it. I can tell you had a rough night. You were at the sleep center. And I was like, oh, how did you know? And she's like, you still have all the connective gel on your face. I hadn't washed off the purple goo from my face. So she knew where I had been. So she totally understood why I was so irritable. But yeah, that was one of the worst things I've ever experienced. I would say going through having a kidney removed, as painful as that was still not as traumatic as going through the narcolepsy test. So maybe they'll have me do that again too. 508-996-0500. Good morning, Skeddy. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, you're welcome, Tim. I would wait forever just to talk to you. So first, I just want to say, oh my God, what a beautiful morning. That sunrise, did you see how, like, the skies were so plum-like colored?
I saw the red sky, but then it turned cloudy here before the sun actually came up.
Oh, I got some beautiful pictures. I never saw it so plum-like. And the clouds were so wispy looking. Oh, it was gorgeous. And the birds, of course, this time of year, singing so loud. I wake up happy every day, but today, like, I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled. My nose is a little stuffed, so you gotta excuse me. So I just wanted to let you know that yesterday I went into Plymouth, right, to get my brother's meal because he's still in the hospital. And I hadn't been there for 5 days, so I went and got the mail and also threw some stuff out of the refrigerator. But on my way there, for the cold, and of course, it's very safely, I was pulling over. I did not want to miss a cold. I'm like, I'm all in. I'm all gangbuster for this. Not that it means anything, but, you know, you got to try. You got to get in. If you want to try to win, you got to get in, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So that was funny. And I was taking my phone with the radio on, the station on. And yeah, I just, there was nothing going to stop me from entering the code. Life might get a little hectic. If he does come home on Friday, you know, I don't care what life will be like when he's home. I just want him to get home. I wish they could just fix his problem. So listening to your story, that's so cute. Well, it's not cute, but you made me laugh about the narcolepsy. I get that seasonally. It's so weird, but there's a certain time, like the end of summer, I don't know what's in the air, but I could just fall asleep just sitting anywhere.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between falling asleep and having narcolepsy. So, falling asleep can happen just because of a lack of sleep, or like you're saying, you know, changes in the environment, like those kind of things can happen. Narcolepsy is more of a shutdown of the body. And the problem that I have is I have narcolepsy without cataplexy, which means I will fall asleep without closing my eyes. So people will think that I'm awake, but I'm awake. So we could be sitting at a table talking and I could be staring at you as you're talking and I could be asleep and you wouldn't even know it.
I think you talked about that when you went to one of your tours, that you fell asleep at the table and everybody didn't realize that you were asleep.
It's happened many, many times. It's happened to me, but the scary thing, what I really had to have something done about it was when I would have it happen behind the wheel.
Oh yeah, no, that is not cool. Oh my gosh.
And it doesn't last long. It's just a few seconds, but those few seconds can be enough. And I've actually had, you know, when I would talk to the doctors about it, they would say, well, it seems like, you know, there's external forces that will wake you up. So, you know, you're not fully asleep. And I was like, but I'm enough asleep that it's probably not a good idea for me to go unmedicated for this. And then it was such a hassle to try to get the medication for it because the health insurance didn't believe that I had two different sleep diagnoses.
Right. Yeah. Well, they want to fight everything, don't they? Oh, my gosh. Well, I know what happens to me a lot. I was going to do a sleep study, but I was curious. Like, I don't know anybody that's ever done it. So for you talking about sleep study while I was on hold, it brought me to, like, this just happened a few nights ago. I wake up out of my sleep totally, and I don't think I snore at all.
Nobody does. Nobody thinks they do. It's up to everybody else to tell us whether or not we do.
Well, I think somebody would have told me by now in my 60s, I think, right?
You hope.
But what happens to me is I wake up, I just totally wake up. I have no air in me at all. And I have this overwhelming sadness. And I the only way I can describe it, it's so funny because I was just describing this to somebody because it happened a few nights ago, two times. But it's an overwhelming sadness, and it's like my soul is crying because, I feel like I was going to die. And then somehow I managed to wake up. And then I just, because of that overwhelming sadness, it's just so sad. I feel so sad for myself feeling that sad.
I'm not a doctor at all, but that sounds more psychological than physiological.
Oh, it's just so sad. And so I wake up and then I feel sad for my soul. And I'm like, but I'm all right. But I don't like to go back to sleep. And sometimes that'll happen to me. It's just like, I don't know why I have no air in me. And thank God, I guess it's my brain telling me to wake up. But it's just the overwhelming sadness in my body.
I mean, it might be worth having a sleep study done. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, well, I had no idea how they do them. So it was kind of interesting hearing you say that.
Super easy. I would recommend it to anybody.
So just real quick, because I know I got to let you go. On the way back from Plymouth, I saw three raccoons, and I mean big-sized raccoons. And the funny thing about these raccoons, they were all a light beige color. I've never seen light beige raccoons, and they were huge. And there was three of them. I'm like, what's the odds of that? So, but I don't know, like, what you're going to talk about in a while about animal stories. So
no, it's unfortunately some sad stories about some dog deaths.
Oh, boy.
But I'll say this. It sounds like maybe you're being abducted by aliens. You're waking up. You can't breathe. You're sad. You're seeing strange animals that are actually screen memories that, you know, those are the aliens, but they're covering up. So I don't know. I'll see if Matt Moniz can look into that for you.
You're so funny. Have a great day, Ben.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And callers, hang on. I've just got to take a quick break. We'll do that, and then we'll come back to your calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. We'll go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. What's on your mind?
Well, it's kind of funny that you're mentioning that right now, because I have an appointment in a couple of weeks for that. I had a CPAP over 25 years ago because I had a problem. And I guess with all the walking I started doing, I made sure I was going to do some deep breathing while I was walking, get the air, get it in and out, in and out. And after a while, I got better. So I only used that for 3 years. And then lately, I started having a problem. So I told the doctor, she said, I'll schedule you for the sleep tap. And now I have a problem. I said it to her. I said, listen, when I had that test years ago, I cannot sleep in a strange bed, a strange place. I got to be at my own house. I don't use pillows. I'll roll up a couple of towels and put them under my neck. It's the way I am. She said, well, let me tell you, they give you a choice now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that. You can have a sleep test at home.
Yep.
You go in, they give you the thing, you go to bed with it, the next day you drop it off and they analyze it. So I'm going to see what happens with that. But then I have a question too now. Sometimes I'll wake up at night just because I have to go to the bathroom. But when I wake up in the middle of the night, I have a hard time getting back to sleep. And in the daytime, I'm tired from not getting the sleep, and I start falling asleep. So how do they differentiate if, oh, I'm falling asleep just like that, I have narcolepsy, and how do they know? I don't have that. They never said it. But I'm thinking, how would they know if I happen to doze off in the daytime?
Yeah,
I don't know it because, you know.
Dozing off and narcolepsy are two different things. Narcolepsy, there's actually, you know, brain signs in your brain waves that show that's the indication. So that's why they have you do that test where you sleep for 2 hours, you're awake for 2 hours, so they can follow what those brain patterns do. And I will say this, I took the home sleep test the last time that I did one, and it was the easiest thing in the world. You'll have no problem with it. And it's super easy to do. It's super easy to put everything on. And, and if you do have to go back to a CPAP machine, the ones they have now are so much better than the ones you might've been using 25 years ago.
Oh yeah. It would leave a mark on my face and everything. Oh, I hated it.
One question. I had one for 20 years, the same machine. And yeah. it was horrible. And now the new machines are so much better.
Well, that's good. I can't wait to get that appointment. You don't get that appointment right away. It took weeks and weeks. I got about 3 weeks left before I can go. But anyhow, the question about they let you sleep for 2 hours and then you wake up and then you say, how can you, by order, fall asleep for 2 hours, wake up? How do you fall asleep again? How can they get you to sleep every 2 hours like
that? It was a little difficult the first cycle or two, but then after that I was ready. I was waiting for it. I was counting down the minutes until it was time to close my eyes again. So
they give you a medicine?
No, just natural sleeping. You know, the test started at like 10 p.m., 11 p.m., the time I would normally go to bed. So I was already ready to go to sleep, and you just become so tired that you're waiting for the 2 hours where you can sleep, and then you're angry that they woke you up, and then when you can't wait for that time to go back to sleep. So
they would have a problem with me because I don't even hardly sleep at night. It's hard for me to go to sleep. And if one little sound happens in the hallway and it wakes me, I'm screwed for the whole night.
Yeah. Well,
ridiculous. Yeah.
You might feel a little different taking the test. I got to hold you there, Mary, because I got to take a final break. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
And we'll be back in just a moment.